Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
The start of that run of big four games is upon us, and a comfortable 2-0 win at Burnley on Saturday without expending too much energy is possibly the best way to start it. Two early goals settled the nerves, and then City kept their opposition at arm's length for most of the remainder of the match. No stories, no scares, no problem. On to Atletico Madrid. Welcome to this week's Why Always Us. This is your Manchester City podcast from The Athletic. I'm David Mooney. With me is Sam Lee. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Yeah, good. This is what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, I wish it was sunnier. But I tell you what, if it wasn't just for the big games, but a bit of sun as well, it's almost a bit, fortunately for me at least, pre-pandemic. You know, it feels like, right, yeah. Big games. It, like, whenever I see stuff from 2019 now, I'm like, oh, what a time to be alive. Like, whenever I see old Instagram pictures or anything, or games or whatever, I just, oh. But, like, it reminds me, and this isn't going to go down well as a comment, but it reminds me of the build-up to the Spurs games, which but then, you know, Pochettino Spurs, big game, big Champions League game. And I remember enjoying that,
yeah,
that kind of buzz around it. And I've got the same again. Look, there's a lot of City games, there's a lot of Champions League games where you're like, okay, yeah, not going through the motions. Or maybe is it my function as a reporter going through the motions a bit. But this is, you know, these are the big ones now. And I can't wait.
And you know what? I've become a lot more serene since we last spoke, because it was largely putting this show together. And I think the listeners will find out as we go through it why that is the case.
Oh, right, okay.
But I've suddenly become a bit more laid back. So that's not like me, which probably means there's a scare on the horizon. If you're not already a subscriber to The Athletic, you can read all of our articles on City as well as everything else on the site by going to theathletic.com/ManCityPod. Right now, you can sign up for a special price of just £1 a month for 6 months. You can do that by going to theathletic.com/ManCityPod. So, Sam, I mean, let's start with that game at Burnley, because having seen Liverpool get the job done against Watford, there was a potential banana skin here. I know a lot of fans were, you know, rightly or wrongly, feeling nervous ahead of the game. Two early goals, very important, I think. It kind of settled the nerves and then allowed City to just kind of play the game out, didn't it?
Big time. Absolutely big time. Perfect. And I mean, look, it's often the way. I think the thing with this game was City were creating good chances. Like, maybe this was just a stupid observation, it didn't mean anything, but like the first time City kind of got the ball forward and put it in the box, I was like, oh, everyone seems to be arriving in kind of a lot of space here. You know, Guardiola says they don't like to be in the box, they like to arrive in the box.
And, yeah.
Because Burnley didn't park the bus. It was like, oh, okay, you know, there's opportunities here. There's a bit of space in the box when that ball goes in. So I thought, okay, interesting. And then obviously that's kind of how the goals were scored, wasn't it? City did really well with both goals. And a lot of the moves throughout the game, really, they just picked Burnley apart expertly. But because they were able to take those goals pretty clinically, probably more clinically than we would expect from City, rightly or wrongly, they were able to ease off a bit, I would say. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, if City are going to do the same thing, basically, from kickoff against everyone, and one factor is the opponents and how they play, obviously, because we saw a difference, really, between Burnley and Palace. Not saying Palace kind of part of the bus, but they were just certainly more competent. And the other thing is, obviously, the finishing. Or if City get a penalty, or if City score from a set piece, or a great goal from outside the box, all of a sudden everything becomes easier. And I remember saying, it's the same every game, but the Southampton game, I remember saying, like, look, they could, the approach both teams will be the same here, but City could win like 4-0 if they just take all their chances.
Yeah.
But if, you know, if they begin to struggle and the game gets tougher, then, you know, it can go in a completely different way. And
it starts to become those games become a slog, don't they? And that takes a toll.
Exactly. And then that's when, like, City's patience comes in, and that's why the games are tense, because City are like, okay, well, this isn't going brilliantly, but we have to keep doing what we're doing. We can't rush, because, you know, the more we rush, the more they'll counterattack and all this. And all of a sudden you get like that Palace situation where, you know, Pep didn't make any subs, but he was thinking, well, we're not conceding many counterattacks at this point. You know, we're doing what we need to do, so I'm going to keep it as it is. But obviously, when City did get the early goal, which was then early goals, perfect. Absolutely perfect. And, you know, partly because City were clinical with the finishing, partly because Burnley weren't particularly good. And then the way they managed the game from there was just expert. Absolutely brilliant.
It kind of reminded me of, I think this might have been just before you started covering City, actually, but it reminded me of when they played Palace away in 2014. That day, the title race was still not in City's hands at that point, despite games in hand. But that day, Chelsea went to Anfield and won. That was when Mourinho was complaining about the schedule, and he played an absolutely balmy rotated team and then did a job on Liverpool. And
well, I certainly remember.
Yeah. and won the game. And so that game then put City, the title race, back in City's hands. They had to go to Palace that afternoon. And it was, again, suddenly quite nervous ahead of the game because it was a tough away game. And City scored two early goals, killed the game, and just absolutely cruised to the win. I remember Graham Souness on the TV after that kind of saying, if you're Man City, you should go to this game. And you know, if you 2-0 up so early, you should really, you know, put a show on and show Liverpool what you're about. And I actually disagreed with him because I thought they did. And I thought, in a similar way, that performance at Burnley kind of showed, well, you know, we're ready for this run-in now. We're in a good position now.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing with that Souness thing is now I'm thinking, no, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. But like, if he'd said that about a Pep team, I'd have been like, no, it's not. I mean, it's not how it works. And also, I get the logic of why, so I'd completely disagree. I mean, back then, before my kind of, the way I look at the game, which is basically just trying to work out what Guardiola thinks and copy that. Like, but back then, 6 or 7 years ago, I might have agreed. Also, because it was a completely different team. But I suppose, like, yeah, at that stage of the season, it's about getting the job done. I mean, yeah. It's an odd comment, especially because you've just seen a team not get the job done. But again, maybe I'm just being more kind of stable in my thinking there, and just, you know, get the job done. Whereas, you know, maybe there was a point to be made in, you've messed up, we're going to really rub your noses in it. But I mean, ultimately, surely at this stage of the season, rubbing the nose is 3 points. That's all you need.
Yeah. I mean,
certainly on that day. Look, if City, like, this is why, you know, when we talked the other week and you were like, and everyone is like, oh, it's going to come down to that game at the Etihad, isn't it? Obviously, it's going to be important. But no City, like, if City win, no City fan is going to start thinking it's definitely over, because, like you just said, after Liverpool lost that, which was obviously like, oh, it goes over to City now, and it's like, this is a huge moment in the title race, all of a sudden, City fans would have been feeling, fucking hell, we need to win this. This is huge. Like, if City beat Liverpool next week, the next Premier League game is it Brighton at home? It was going to be Wolves, wasn't it? But it's moved.
Yeah,
but I think it's
Brighton
at home.
Yeah.
And then Watford. But okay, those ones, not so much. But again, it's that Wolves away game for me. You know, games are going to be like, we really need to do the job here. And the job is get 3 points.
Yeah, well, I can see Wolves, West Ham being uncomfortable games.
West Ham, yeah, I think Wolves be really rank. Although I suppose if it's the end of the season, maybe they'll just not be bothered if they've got nothing going for. But they seem to be hitting a good run of form at the minute.
Yeah,
I know it doesn't always work like that, but my point of view is, if you're a team that's kind of been following a process all season and it finally starts to click in March, okay, you're not going to finish sixth, you're not going to finish seventh, whatever, but you're starting to play well, put the hammer down and go for it. But I know that isn't always how it works, is it? But we'll see. But Wolves will be difficult. But let's get Liverpool out of the way first.
Yeah. Let's not get too far ahead of ourselves.
Anyway, sorry. In terms of Burnley.
Well, one thing I wanted to say about Burnley was, like, the performance did, I thought it did a really good job of conserving energy.
Yeah, I did. And I was watching it and I was convinced that that was what they were doing. The amount of passes between Laporte and Ake. Like, obviously, everyone listening to this podcast will, you know, have seen enough of, as much of City as I have over the last few years. We all know how they work. But I was like, this is a lot of passes between them. And then there was a couple of times when, it may be just like one-off examples, but it was like Gundogan got the ball in midfield and it was like bouncing around a bit, but it was like, you know what, I'm just going to bang this back 50 yards to Edison and we'll start again. It was just that. It was take no risks, keep the tempo down. So I was absolutely convinced that was the case, and I still am. But I asked Guardiola, and finally I've maybe learnt my lesson. I asked in a way that I couldn't be shot down publicly, even though what I was thinking was obviously not what he went along with. I was like, is it possible in a game like that, after the two early goals, to conserve energy a bit? And he was like, He goes, a 2-0, not really, basically. He was, I told them at half time, we can't just pass for the sake of it. We need to keep going. And he was like, Burnley changed their shape, or that, you know, they pressed a bit more at half time with two forwards pressing the centre backs a bit more like what we're used to from them, and this kind of stuff. And again, like, who am I to disagree? But I do feel like, and in my article I wrote about this, because Marty Perrinal said, you know, the Bayern players almost subconsciously said would kind of go, just kind of, I don't know, loosen up a bit in the league games, but then kill themselves, in his words, for the Champions League games. And I look, obviously it's a different team, but I think, like, you can just see that happening, the way City played. But I think what they did is they found that sweet spot, because they kept going for more goals by doing the right things.
Yeah, yeah.
But they did it sensibly. You know, they weren't going for the goals by spamming the ball into the box and losing it and suffering counterattacks. They were just like, well, okay, we're going to pass this ball around at the back, leisurely. We're going to conserve our energy this way. But then, you know, if there's an opportunity to switch the ball to the left and somebody's in loads of space, which was all the time, by the way, or play, you know, because the mass ranks, they're not there. You know, you can play these passes. If the opportunity arises, we are going to attack, but we're not going to flog ourselves doing it. And I think that's what they did. And on another day, it could have easily been 4-5-0, because they played really well in the second half. Yeah. I think in the first half they had, what, 3 shots? In the second they must have had 10 or 11. And they made some good chances. Like we've said before, they had a lot of chances to create chances. So I suppose you could be a bit frustrated by that. But by the end it was a bit like, come on, lads, are you trying to miss at this point? But it was, you know, the overall picture was they played the game expertly, really.
I will say, Jesus was unlucky. It took a nick, yeah, on its way through to the post, and then that rebound. I mean, the co-commentator on the stream I was watching said the rebound's possibly easy, and I'm like, mate, it's come back at him, and he's taken a touch and tried to bend it. It's like, it's one of those instinctive sort of things. I did feel for him in that instance, but I know what you mean.
Okay,
yeah, I know what you mean. I want to kind of get into, because I think it's because it was a professional performance, Sam, it's calmed me down a lot, because I want to get into a little bit of Guardiola, because last week we talked quite extensively about how he's changed in management. You tipped me off this week that he was in really good form in the embargo side of the post-match press conference from Saturday. Having listened to it all, he seemed really, really relaxed. He started with a joke at the expense of a friend of ours. He made a quip about playing English players in Sterling, Foden and Grealish. In fact, this is what he said.
I work in England. I have to do this kind of thing for the UK. So.
So like he's really, like, he's
the
really
sycophantic press box laughter.
Yeah, he's really laid back there, isn't he?
Yeah, like, so I was gonna tweet afterwards, like on Saturday evening. I was like, oh, Pep was really good in that embargoed press conference. Like, talk about this, talk about that. I was joking. You should check it out. And I was like, what a shit tweet that would be.
Yeah,
like, especially considering what I said last week about how I used to be able to put the press conference stuff or the best bits on my Twitter account, and now, you know, I can't do that. And there's certain stuff that doesn't get, you know, you can't really aggregate a joke. Although I'm sure now I've suggested it, people will find a way, and I think they probably should. I think you know, there's definitely an opportunity for that, and people would like to see it. So I guarantee that will happen within the next 10 days. But yeah, so he did. He was in a good mood. He did take the piss a bit out of a friend at the start. I won't say who it was.
I couldn't
wipe the smile off my face for the next like 10-15 minutes, because I was just like, this is gonna be brought up for ages. But to be fair to him, or not, he's managed it very well, the subject of this joke. We've talked about it, but he didn't mention it straight away. And I think it's one of those where it's like, if you just kind of just style it out, it won't be remembered. However, I mean, it will be remembered. But yeah, it was just Pep. He was messing around, and then when he said it, he turned over, looked at me, and he might have looked at another colleague as well. So he obviously knows we kind of, you know, all sit together at press conferences and stuff. And then yeah, so when he said that thing about England, because I think the second question would have been, oh, you know, you had Foden, Sterling, and Grealish up front, which was interesting because Foden was quiet because, you know, it's false nine basically.
Yeah,
we've been through this, and Grealish was quiet because, I don't know, like, the amount of space that there was on the left, especially at the start of the second half. And then he actually did better when he went to false nine, actually, Grealish. But yeah, I mean, those three on paper are an amazing front three. Not particularly on Saturday. Obviously, Sterling did well. So yeah, then Pep was like, oh yeah, I do this for the UK. But everything he said was either funny or like incredibly insightful or just interesting. And like, it went on for ages, the embargoed bit, because I thought the open bit was like two or three questions. And I was going to ask him, he said something about Foden. Maybe like, it's, you know, it's difficult in that role, which again is, you know, cheers for that, when I asked you the other week and you said no chance. But I was going to say, look, he's still learning though, isn't he? He's still developing. And I just thought, this is dragging on a bit, I won't bother. But it went on for ages. People kept asking questions and he was just really good with all of them.
Yeah, it felt, in a weird way, it felt like a real reflection of how the team had played, because they seemed quite relaxed as well. I remember thinking, like, 10 minutes into the game, I think they must have gone one up before then anyway, so they'd got themselves in front. But I remember thinking, they're knocking it around quite confidently. They don't look like a team that's about to go into a real high-pressure week.
Yeah.
I think it comes down from the top, doesn't it? It comes down from Guardiola and his...
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And how he is.
Absolutely. So there's a couple of things. One is, you know, Pep said, he goes, I was more worried about the Burnley game than the Liverpool game, because at home next week in front of our fans, you know, the fans will be ready, the players will be ready. You know, he doesn't need to worry about motivation or whatever, or taking their eye off the ball or it being a banana skin, you know, because it's Liverpool, you've got to be up for it. And if you lose, you lose, because they're good. But he didn't want to come to Burnley after the international break, one training session. You know, maybe the players got their eye on a different game. So the fact that they were so in control, I would say, is a really good sign. You know, if even Guardiola was thinking, oh, I'm not sure about today, and then yeah, they breeze through it like that, then great. I suppose the other thing is, yes, he looks incredibly relaxed. The players do. But I mean, we're recording this at 10-ish on Monday morning. After we've done this, I'm going to go to his press conference against Atletico Madrid. And, you know, maybe it's completely different. Or even if it's the same, because we talked last week on that podcast about how he's kind of changed over the years and he's a bit more c'est la vie, really, about things these days. You know, you just live with it. You know, okay, a defeat will hurt him for a while and sometimes for ages. But, you know, it's football. It is what it is. He knows that now. And he did anyway, but he's really at peace with it now. So he might be still really calm about it. And, you know, the players maybe as well, but Atletico Madrid, if, you know, they force a mistake in the first 5 minutes and they score, we won't be saying they were nerveless and they were ready for it and whatever. Even if they were, you know, mistakes happen for whatever reason. I remember thinking back to that game when City had to turn it around against Liverpool and they forced Van Dijk into, it was a straight pass, wasn't it? It was straight out to Jesus or Sterling?
I think it was Sterling because Jesus scored.
And Jesus scored, yeah. And like that can happen. So I don't want to start saying, oh, well, you know, he's relaxed, so therefore City going into this run of this and this. I think we can see that they're in a good place and it's just you do the right things now, like they did against Burnley, but the right things against Burnley will be different to the right things against Atletico Madrid, because if they play at that tempo against Atletico Madrid, then, you know, it's not going to go well.
Yeah.
But they can do the right things at the right tempo. They're kind of, yeah, they seem... The players on the pitch and Guardiola in the press conference, they do seem kind of in control at the moment, for sure. But obviously how that impacts on the performances or not is almost impossible to say.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is supported by FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher league. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenge and rise again into League One? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
I want to bring this up as well, because when asked about Gundogan's form in that press conference, he couldn't really... He started by talking about Gundogan, but he couldn't really help himself but kind of meander away from him and just talk about the whole team and how the whole team's playing. This is what he said.
I want the rhythm. No, this is not a problem. The problem is have the Ilkay in the beginning of the season, I was not in the top form. his weight was not perfect and was not, but now he's back. Now, of course, Ilkay, it's not necessary to tell you how important it is for us, for me personally. In the other side, he has to compete with Kevin and Bernardo, and Kevin and Bernardo, but especially Bernardo, all the season was the best Bernardo we met two seasons or three seasons ago. And Kevin, apart of the some little injuries, arrived in the last part of the season also in a good moment. So, and that is what you have to try to do. So, but even Gabriel, last game against Southampton, make an assist and get the penalty that help us to score the second goal. His influence in the team, always, it doesn't matter, play today, arrive and look, you see, have three shoots on target and keep the ball and do it an incredible. That is what we need. So the players have to be ready. Now it's time to look forward, to see as a team what we can do. And sometimes play a 10 minutes can give us a title. Can give us today, Nathan Ake made the same action have done in Arsenal away when the goal is scored. And it was incredible, always ready, ready defensively. And in this action, help us to win in London against Arsenal and be now on top of the league. So, and Nathan didn't play much this season, but always is ready. And in this part of the season, that would be the decisive moment.
There we have it. The ending to that answer, Sam, reminded me. Do you remember the Liverpool game in 2019 in the January? Do you know who played right back for City that day?
Danilo.
It was, yeah.
And that's I did a Premier League thing the other day, and they showed like a 10-minute highlights package of the game.
There we go.
And they were like, "Who's that?" And I was like, "Danilo."
Yeah,
that was in the old Kyle Walker winter dip in form, wasn't it?
Yeah,
he had a couple of seasons in a row.
And it took me by surprise because my question for kind of like in reaction to that was going to be along the lines of, well, last week we said that, you know, in this run-in, he can't pick the 11 that we want him to pick every week, and there's going to be, you know, people here and there who are not happy with selections for various games. But it's kind of a lesson, isn't it, in basically Guardiola knows who's in, as he'd say, a good moment right now. And like you talk about Ake and the okay, it was offside in the end, but it was another moment where, like, if that wasn't offside and Ake doesn't make that action and the ball gets into the net, then suddenly that the end to that game, they can't conserve the energy that they were able to.
Yeah, exactly. He talks about him being just always ready, and I suppose those are really obvious examples of that anticipation. Although it was hilariously offside, wasn't it?
It was.
I'm almost annoyed with Ake for wasting his energy. You could say he could have pulled hamstring doing that. Like, he was obviously offside. What are you doing? But no, obviously you played to the whistle. God, that was Lampardy, wasn't it, for me?
That was a bit. Yeah,
it was. That was a good Lampard. But no, in all seriousness, well
Adam
Hurry. Yeah. He won't be listening to this. So Guardiola kind of bringing it back to everybody else is kind of typical. It's interesting about Gundogan, though, because, you know, at the start he was like, no, it's not a problem. People might listen and think, what's all that about? But the question was, you know, Gundogan's playing really well. Is that giving you like a selection problem? And obviously he was about to start his answer on Gundogan, and then he realised what had been said. And he was like, no, it's not a problem. And he was like, but what's a problem was earlier in the season when because his weight wasn't right and it wasn't the best Ilkay, which is interesting. You wouldn't really expect that. Again, I suppose that goes to show either one, our ideas of what footballers are like aren't always accurate, or two, if it is accurate in this case and Gundogan is the ultimate professional, that even, you know, even players like him can have certain problems that, you know, maybe it's once you get over 30, maybe it's after international tournaments, whatever it may be. You know, these things can be factors. And yeah, to go back to what you were saying about picking the 11 and him knowing who's in a good moment. Have you got the Mahrez clip, or should I just talk about it?
He does mention Mahrez in some of the clips that I've got later on, but I'll be honest with you, the way I've labelled them up, I can't tell you which one it's going to be, so it's a surprise for me.
So the interesting thing, and this is why I'm always saying, look, I think this, even if it's whether it's an opinion or whether it's information, more so with an opinion, I suppose, but I'm like, look, I'm open to the fact that this is wrong. I'm open to the fact that if Guardiola was here, he'd say no. And most likely, even if he was being completely genuine rather than the kind of press conference, I'm going to disagree and then maybe agree at the end, which he does with basically everybody, or, you know, a lot of the people who go often to press conferences in Manchester. So I tweeted about it. And if you think about that Southampton game, Mahrez, Bernardo, Foden on the bench against Burnley, Bernardo and Mahrez on the bench, Foden played and he was the first one off. So you think, And obviously, I've got in my head now that they're gonna, they're gonna have to rotate the team. They're gonna have to conserve energy. They're gonna have to be strict on the minute. And again, in the article I did from the Burnley game, I went back to that Marty Perenal book just with evidence of how Guardiola works. It's not just me saying it. You know, he was like, he wanted to rotate the forwards. I think he said Douglas Costa, Thomas Muller, Robert Lewandowski. He said out of 900 minutes, they played this, this, and this. And, you know, they didn't play at least 200 of those minutes because he was trying to rest them and give them a bit of energy. So it's fair to say that, you know, that is or has been an approach. So he is going to be resting those players. And I tweeted, you know, it's fairly obvious to me, it seems. Maybe I didn't even put to me, but I thought it's fairly obvious that he's rotating and keeping these players fresh. And, you know, I'm thinking they'll probably play against Atletico, although Sterling did well and, you know, maybe plays on the right, but we'll see. But the thing is, and why I'm always open to the fact that I am wrong, despite the kind of energy I invest in this and being right and speaking to enough people to be right, is when Pep was talking about, I don't even think he was asked about, he wouldn't have been asked about Mahrez, it would have been something else.
Yeah, there were no questions like, about Mahrez. He mentions this twice in upcoming clips as well.
So he said, I think he was just talking about how football's mad. And he was talking about Algeria. And, you know, they were ahead. They won the first leg of their playoff against Cameroon. And, you know, they had 180 minutes of football. And then in the 124th minute, which doesn't work, but this is how he said it, 124th minute of the second leg, which was, you know, the last minutes of extra time, Cameroon scored and they went to the World Cup and Algeria didn't. So he mentioned that. And then he was like, and that, you go, Mahrez is a bit sad. He goes, Riyad, he's been a bit down. You know, he's not got a great mood. And then he said later, if Algeria had have gone to the World Cup, I would have, I guess maybe I would have picked Mahrez today. So it goes to show that obviously from the outside, we're looking and thinking, oh, it must be this or it must be that. Or why doesn't he do this? Or, you know, whether it's subs or whether it's transfers or whether it's starting lineup, why doesn't he do this? Should he do that? Blah, 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 blah. Like, it's so difficult to just sit here on the outside and say, this should happen, that should happen, because there's a million different things that can affect how a squad is run. That's in the Marty Perenal book as well. That's in my article as well, because, you know, Guardiola, on the one hand, he's managing the minutes, but there's so many other things. And isn't that a great example? Mahrez may have played against Burnley, but he was a bit upset after his country didn't go to the World Cup. Like, would we have ever, when that lineup was announced, would we have ever gone, oh, you know what, Mahrez is probably a bit upset, so fair enough.
Yeah.
Never. And this is why I'm always like, look, whether it's fans on the outside commenting, whether it's me, whether it's stuff in the media about, oh, they should do this, they should do that. It's like, look, we've no idea. Like, we try really hard. Certainly I do. It's my job. You know, we try really hard to have an idea. But there's so much that goes on in terms of, like, whether it's incident or, you know, transfers or conversations or whatever that, you know, we're never going to get. Or there's just the way Pep thinks.
Yeah. Well,
it's fascinating.
Let's have a listen to this, because this is what he said when he was asked about the mood in the dressing room ahead of basically this run of games to come.
What I'm saying, they feel it too. They know how hard they fought and how tough is the opening, how difficult is the Champions League, how difficult is the FA Cup, and they feel it. Yeah, of course they feel it. But Liverpool feel it too. So they know it. Because I said the same, so we are now 1 point, but the way we play in Crystal Palace, in Southampton, in Premier League, we should be in better position because we play awesome. We play much, much worse in FA Cup against Southampton in the Premier League. In 1-1-1, at the 1-4. And tell me the reason why. It's football. This is an expression I love, I use a lot. This is football. You know, where Riyad now, like, I am so concerned because he's a little bit sad. He's not in Algeria for the national team in the World Cup. And I said, I scored 180 minutes to go to the World Cup, and 124, you can see the goal, Cameroon is out for the World Cup. You can find explanation, it's football. There's emotions, there's many, many things that you are not time out. The national team manager of Algeria, 180 minutes, time out, like a basketball, or like a tennis, after two services, you sit down, you can reflect, okay, we're going to, this not happen. Tell me, it's football. It's football. How many times you play better, you lose. But what I said, and I'm proud of most, and I insist to do this, after six seasons, five seasons, winning, still we are there. And the last stage of the season, fighting for the titles. And that means we are a big club. There's a lot of money, I know that, but not just that. Otherwise, you are not five seasons in every single 3 days being there fighting for the titles. Now, the players know it. Know it. I said many times, you lose the competition. So, and they know it, and they train like this, and of course they feel it. But I think, I'm not there, but I think our opponents, they feel it too.
There's the Riyadh stuff. But also, again, another joke in there. So another joke in there, Sam.
Yeah, just firing them off, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think a part of that, look, most of it is his team played well in a game he was worried about. And maybe even Pep now. I mean, look, probably by the time he was home on Saturday night, he was probably deep into Atletico analysis, wasn't he? Most likely. But if he was just at home drinking wine with friends, having a nice meal, wouldn't surprise me. You know, just at this point, just be a bit more relaxed with it and, you know, enjoy the moment, maybe. Yeah. And we'll get to that later on, because there's another clip that goes with that. So yeah, very relaxed. But also, when we started having press conferences in person, there was a noticeable difference in like November, because on Zoom, it was just kind of, they were just shit. I didn't like doing them. It seemed like Guardiola didn't like doing them. You know, just it's just a mess, a bit of a hassle. The answers were okay, not particularly good often. But then when he started coming back in the room, it's just better to be around people again. And I'm not saying he was delighted to see a room full of journalists, but I suppose he's got to do it. So it might as well be in person as opposed to in Zoom.
Yeah.
And it's a tight little press box at Burnley, and maybe this is just how I felt about it. But I felt like, oh, this is really good. I was sat at the side, like 4 or 5 yards away from him. I was like, this is great. But obviously, he put on a bit of a performance, and I think he was, yeah, just obviously in a good mood about the game and how it went. But I just maybe just to be back around people again and that kind of contact, even though it was just journalists asking him stupid questions like myself. I think he enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was that was his answer that gave me this kind of c'est la vie attitude for this week. It was when I was listening to that, I was just kind of like, yeah, you know what? Whatever happens now. City are in the
mix. It would have worked perfectly, that clip, and what we were talking about last week, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because whatever happens now. And yeah, I might not be relaxed during the games, but there's nothing I can do about it. There's nothing I can control about it. It might not go how I want it to go, but as he said, that's football.
Yeah, exactly. When he said, he goes, this is football. He goes, there's a phrase. He goes, it's a phrase I use a lot. I was like, oh, what's he going to say here? And he's like, oh, this is football. I was like, okay, it's not really back page stuff, is it? You know, I was hoping it was going to be something, I don't know, maybe Spanish and interesting that, you know, I could probably get an article out of or something. But he's right. Like, there is no other way of putting it, really. And that's just, you know, that's why when, you know, if they have a defeat or something, or, you know, the draw against Palace, for example, and we're sitting there going, what about this? What about that? It's just, you know, it's football, isn't it? What can you do?
I thought it was interesting that he was unprompted to say Liverpool feel it too.
I think that was just honesty of the situation.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of answers, you know, that managers in general say kind of earnestly and honestly and straight down the line. And it can be written or even just interpreted in a slightly different way. And it was similar at the weekend. He talked before the game. He asked about Ten Hag, and he was like, yeah, great. He goes, really like, great bloke. Gave him a lot of praise. And he was like, do you think it'd be a good fit for United? He was like, oh, I don't know. Like, the other coaches they've had have been excellent, and it's not gone well for them, so I don't know. And I think that was just a kind of straight down the line, honest kind of opinion.
Yeah.
You can't say fairer than that, can you? Like, is Van Gaal and obviously Moyes is doing it well again now. Van Gaal, Moyes, Mourinho, like, they disasters, or is it the club? You know, I'm sure a lot of people, City fans, would be happy to say it's the club. So he was saying that. And then he was like, would Ten Hag be good enough to manage here? He was like, yeah. Well, why not? Because, you know, I don't think he's going to say no about that, because obviously he does rate him and he knows him. And it's like, you could write that in a certain way. You could say, like, oh, you know, Guardiola says manager's not the problem of Man United or whatever. Or you could even read it if it's been aggregated and there's no other context or whatever, or you've not seen the words delivered. You think, oh, that's a bit strange. But it was just a straight down the line comment. This is the situation. These are facts, really. And I think I interpreted those comments about the pressure, because, you know, he was like, they feel it as well. Because he knows, you know, the pressure is the situation. The pressure is, we need to win all of these games. Doesn't matter what Liverpool do. We need to win all of these games. And that is what we need to do going into every game. And he's like, the players feel that as well. But he's right. Like, Liverpool do. Liverpool will. Like, there's probably a bit more from Liverpool, because definitely if they drop points, then they probably are fucked, because they're even further behind. They're, you know, they're already behind. I'm not saying they're in a bad position, because look, it's in their hands as well. And if they win next week, they're in a great position. But they will definitely feel that pressure of, well, we need to win this game. Because of course they do. Like, that is a fact. That is the fact of the matter. And it was great that he talked a lot about that kind of pressure. He did in the first bit of the press conference, and he did again, obviously, in that clip there and in others. And this whole thing about, oh, Liverpool are top now. Look, it's a big thing in the media. I know fans, you know, you said earlier on, nervous about Burnley. Fans are nervous about every game, especially now.
Yeah.
Like, on the way down to Palace and afterwards, traveling with someone, and they were like, oh, well, you know, the fans were really nervous before. And you could tell. I was like, yeah, but they're nervous about everything, mate. Just look at Twitter. Look at every game. And he was like, no, it's different today. I was like, fine. Maybe he's right. I wasn't on Twitter quite so much at that point. Even now, to be fair. But I was like, it's all the time. Like, you can't take Twitter as a gauge, because everyone's nervous about every game. Like, look, I guarantee you, if City get through these next few games and they got Brighton at home, go, oh, wow, Brighton haven't won in a while. They'll be desperate for it. They might be in a relegation battle. You know, they got a point. People are nervous about everything. We talk about the pressure of, oh, Liverpool went top. Almost completely irrelevant. The only thing is there that obviously Liverpool haven't lost a game. So the pressure on City is the same. But the pressure on City is the pressure that they know. It doesn't matter if Liverpool go top or not. Like, it's just so overblown. And like, you can look stupid. You can start going, and this is the funny thing, like, Klopp wasn't even in his press conference. I think he was just arriving for his press conference and City had scored.
I think he said something like, City have ruined your first question
for it. Yeah, I'm sure he would have. I mean, look, this is the thing about it. Like, what are those match reports going to have said anyway? Because you can't say the pressure was on City. If you were going to write about the title race, you'd have to wait until the City game had gone. And what kind of way to analyse a match is that? I suppose you're analysing the title race rather than the match. But it's like, you're just putting preconceived ideas. Like, you're projecting them onto something that it's not relevant. I don't think it's relevant. Yeah. I suppose maybe I'm wrong to say this, but the fact that City made it look so easy and they look so calm and relaxed, was there pressure that Liverpool went top for like 18 minutes? No, what the fuck? I don't buy it at all. And look, at the end of the season, there is going to be pressure. There is going to, you know, it's going to be ranked up. Us on the outside, fans, media, like, Liverpool will be playing first. Oh, you know, they go top, or, you know, they close the gap, or whatever it is, or they extend their lead, whatever it may be. City got to do this. They know they've got to do this. They've done it before. Like, 2 years ago, it was basically the same players. They've done it before. They know what they need to do. Guardiola tells them every day. He says they feel it every day. Liverpool needs to do it as well. Like, it's just a completely kind of media and fan constructed idea of what type of pressure it is. There is pressure, but it's not that.
Yeah.
It's not, oh, the other team's done this. And yeah, okay. There will be games when it's like, you're watching maybe in the hotel, and oh, Liverpool have scored in the last minute. You think, oh, for fuck's sake. But the pressure's the same. The pressure's the same.
Yeah.
And look, I suppose the flip side of that coin is, okay, Liverpool play before City in some game in 3 or 4 weeks or whatever, and they lose. And City players are like, yeah, brilliant. All right, is the pressure off then? And they go and lose. And City lose as well. And then they're in the same situation. Like, the pressure's still on. You need to go and win.
Yeah, the pressure is always on.
You need to go and win then. Arguably, the pressure's on more. Maybe you start thinking, oh shit, we really need to win this game. We can't let this opportunity slip. The pressure is just to win. The pressure is to do your own job. I just think the rest of it, maybe this is just me being awkward, but I don't really buy.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Let's have a look towards Atletico, Sam, because Guardiola was asked at the end of that press conference if it would be a tough tactical battle. Obviously, he'll talk more about it after this podcast has gone out. But this is what he said.
He's a master for the knockout stages. There are many, many games during the game, and he handled perfectly these different types of games. So, But tomorrow we start to talk about them. I was a little bit concerned about this game. Honestly, I respect more than Liverpool game. Understand me what I want to say. So I know against Liverpool, our people, the players, I will be. But he, international break, come back, just one training session together. Riyad is sad after what happened. Riyad, maybe he was qualified today, we'll have play. And Bernardo and, I don't know, Kevin, 10 days off. You never know how we are going to, you know, to really. And that's why I'm more than pleased for the victory today and continue the fight against Liverpool.
That's almost the clip to say that everything you said was true, Sam. It's almost proof that that you were there and that everything that we said, because we've talked about pretty much everything in that clip, but not played it yet.
Good memory, if nothing else.
It's interesting that, I mean, he was asked specifically about the challenges that Atletico would face, and he started off by saying about how it would be how Simeone was a master in these sorts of knockout games. But then that answer very, very quickly kind of reverted back round to what had just happened against Burnley in the title race with Liverpool. It makes me wonder if it shows how much he's thinking about each game individually and he just hadn't started thinking about Atletico yet.
Yeah, probably. You know, he said Monday we'll look, obviously in terms of the players, definitely. And I think, again, it's difficult, isn't it? You know, I've said earlier how difficult it is to assume anything, even based on, you know, reliable accounts, whether it's my people I speak to or, you know, the books that have come out. The books on Guardiola have been excellent. No, we're so lucky to have them. But, you know, it's difficult to assume anything, really, despite all that. But I think, yeah, there's no point in him looking at Atletico Madrid on Friday when he knows that Burnley's big. And he said there, didn't he? You know.
Yeah.
More worried about Burnley. So completely genuine. You know, obviously they would have had analysts looking at Atletico Madrid ready. And, you know, I'm sure as soon as he was ready for it, whether it was on the coach home from Burnley or Sunday morning or whatever, he'd have been like, right, show me. And he'd be like, right, okay, let's do it. It's not a lot of time to prepare, is it? But I mean, if anyone can, it's them, and they've done it plenty of times before. So yeah, exactly. It is the next game. And this goes back to the pressure thing. Like, okay, they will kind of have an eye on those games. They'll know they're there, and, you know, they'll know they're there in the sense that they're not stupid. They're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna play the second half at full pelt against Burnley, because they know that, you know, it makes sense to conserve energy, whether they've been told to or not. It makes sense to, and, you know, that's why they did it so well, and that's why their performance was so impressive, especially under the supposed pressure from Anfield.
Yeah.
Which again, you know, is the same for both teams. It's just they did that so well, knowing that that's the most important game. But there are huge games coming up, and this is why it's so fascinating. And it has to be one game at a time. And, you know, and on the outside, when a player says that, we roll our eyes and be like, "Yeah, come on." But they do know the other game's big, but the focus is the next game. Otherwise, City wouldn't even be in this position. If they started looking at games further down the line, they wouldn't be top. You know, they wouldn't. They might not be in the Champions League anymore if they started taking games for granted. It's as simple as that. Like it really is that simple sometimes. But I think we look for things that are a bit more, I don't know, a bit more interesting maybe. And oh yeah, but come on, what do you really think? And there is obviously an element of that. But I do think when it comes to matches, like is it on a team level, but on a player level, like the sports psychology they get. I saw something recently. don't focus on doing your best performance. Focus on doing your best performance possible, because then you can acknowledge that if something's not right on that day, whether it's external or internal factors, you've got a healthy mindset.
Yeah.
And it's not like when you go to take a penalty, it's not, oh, I need to be relaxed. You know, I would imagine if I was coaching a team of kids or whatever, I'd be like, oh, you know, you need to be relaxed. And then the players would go, oh, I need to be relaxed. And if they're nervous already and they're telling themselves they need to be relaxed, they're not relaxed. You know, you need to go through your processes. You need to be, as a professional footballer in your 20s playing for Man City, you will have gone through the right processes all your life. And, you know, there's normally, as boring as I'm focusing on the next game. I'm focusing on what I can control. And, you know, we're going, oh, does it add extra pressure that Liverpool have done this? Well, no, you can't control that.
Yeah.
You can't control that. You can only do, like, Nadim rang me about 10 minutes before kickoff at Burnley. And we'll have him on next week because we'll talk about title races and whether they're fun. That's what he rang me about. But I was talking to him about the pressure thing that, like I said, that all the talk about Liverpool going top just annoyed me because I just think it's irrelevant to the players. And he was like, yeah, because what have you got to do then? You just got to hope that Liverpool drop points. So what kind of situation is that to be in when you're hoping? So just focus on what you can do. You know, you're qualified to do it. You're a top level footballer.
Yeah.
To focus on that. So I know it was a long answer, but there we go. Also, have you noticed these vibrations? You know, the notifications on somebody's phone when
they're on the desk. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to know which dickhead that was?
Oh, it wasn't, was it?
Well, obviously it was me. So I had a rush. So this is probably goes to show, you know, been out of practice for 2 years, not in press conferences. So I was like, all right, he's here now. Wasn't expecting that. I was writing. So I was like, right, what's the shortcut to open the voice memos app? Right, pressed it. Okay, done. Where's flight mode? Right, flight mode. Put it down. As he's speaking, I was like, I can hear some vibrations there. So it sounds like my phone, but, you know, a vibration noise is a vibration noise. So it could be anyone. Looked at the end. I was like, right. So when you put it on flight mode, the Wi-Fi stays on, doesn't it? So I was still getting messages. Looked at the recordings. The button I pressed just opened up the app, didn't get recorded. So I didn't record it either. I was like, that is a shout. I mean, look, obviously there was enough people in there who did. So I was able to get it. But I was like, what a fucking idiot.
But
I didn't, imagine I was getting loads of messages as well. Like, if that was like a group chat buzzing, like my mates would have been watching United. And like, if Leicester had a scored after like 5 minutes or something, like my phone would have been going mad. All my friends would have been going, oh, United are shit or whatever. Like, it would have been, I would have had to say, look, is that mine? Sorry, okay, I'll turn it off. Like, what an embarrassment.
I'm honestly, from somebody who has been doing a podcast with me for so long as well, Sam, the talk of quality audio, and here you are ruining it, riding roughshod over the quality feed. That
I went out of my way to get you the best quality audio as well, didn't I?
I know, it's still in there. Yeah, I can't believe it. Let's finish with a quick thought on Atletico, Sam, because it's easy for thoughts to drift to that meeting between Guardiola and Simeone in 2016. Bayern lost that on away goals. It finished 2-2. I'm wondering, because obviously the way he talked at the start of that clip about Simeone being a master in kind of knockout phases and kind of having to play games within games. I'm wondering if actually there'll be opportunities for City to not go flat out against Atletico in over these two legs, because there'll be points in the game where the game hits a bit of a lull and they can get the foot on the ball and kind of take a little bit of a kind of manage the game, get a little bit of a break in the legs at that point.
Oh yeah, tricky, because obviously I said this before, but obviously the focus is going to be do what you need to do. So I think we talked before about the best case scenario would be, you know, City win 3-0 or 4-0, and then all of a sudden you can rest players in Madrid, so you can maybe go a bit harder against Liverpool, and then you can maybe go a bit harder against Liverpool in the FA Cup as well. That'd be perfect. But they're not going to race out of the blocks to do that. They'll try and do everything right, and they're going to do what the situation demands. And it brings us back to what I said about the start. If they score early, great. You know, maybe the goals come a bit easier if Atletico open up and try and score themselves. And, you know, maybe City are clinical and they're 3-0 up at half time. Or maybe they're not and it's a difficult game. And maybe Atletico score from a header from a corner after 15 minutes and it's a really difficult game. Like, we don't know how it's going to go. So in terms of that management of it, it's just go out and do your game. If you concede after 10 minutes, keep doing the same thing. Yeah. If you score after 10, unless they're playing like shit, obviously, and they need to change. But if they, you know, they catch a goal against a runner player or whatever, keep doing the same thing. If you go 1-0 up after 10 minutes, keep doing the same thing. And in terms of conserving the energy, I suppose it depends on how the game's going, and it depends on the Atletico Madrid. Because the closer the game's getting now, the more we're talking like it's the Atletico Madrid, peak Atletico. When it isn't, really, is it this season? But if I had to guess, and I've said this when they played United, I've said this when they played Liverpool last season, and I think, was it last season? I know they'd played him in the pandemic year.
Yeah, it was 1920, I think.
Okay, but I don't know, whenever it is when they played a team and there's been a bit of talk of, oh, they're not quite as good this year. I was like, I'll tell you what though, the way that team is set up for the kind of big pressure games, even if they were 20th in La Liga, I still think it'll be the big game Atletico that we see. I'm not expecting it to be easy. Maybe it will be. Maybe City will tear them apart. Maybe that's because they're clinical. Maybe it's because Atletico did the rubbish. I don't know. But in terms of that conserving energy, I suppose we'll find out. You know, if it's after half an hour and it's like, oh, this is going much better than expected, they will know to do that. But I don't think from the outset it will be conserve energy where you can. I think it will be get the job done. And I think, like I say, do the right things. And I think the right thing will be playing at a high tempo. It'll be keeping the pressure on them, circulate the ball quickly in their half. You know, don't pass it around the back like they did against Burnley. You know, try to move it quickly enough to find those spaces. If a route opens up to get it into the number 8's feet so he can turn, do that. You know, play with that kind of intensity. And if that means you do it for 90 minutes, you do it for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
But if they're 2-0 up after 20 again, like they were at the weekend, then, you know, there's an opportunity there to let's just kill this game. 2-0's fine. And we'll go looking for goals in the second half, which is basically what they did against Burnley. But it will be, you know, I think the starting intensity will probably be higher. That'll be my guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we can also bullshit around the other way and say, because you can spin it however you like, can't you? Because if they end up playing a really high intense game that they win and they play intense for 90 minutes, you go, well, that's momentum they can take into the Liverpool game. So we're doing that thing where we're speculating and Guardiola might sit down and go, you know, what are you talking about, lads? So,
I suppose the other thing as well, in terms of rotation, you know, I've talked about it a lot when the draw was made for Liverpool game. We've been talking about this for a few weeks now. Did that live show with Nadim as well. We talked about it. And I was going to mention it more in my article at the weekend, but they didn't do a lot. Obviously, in the forward line, they did. And now we know Mahrez, the reason for Mahrez. But I suppose up front, they've got a lot of options. And Bernardo, I think, fairly obvious with Bernardo. They might ask him to play in all four games, maybe.
Yeah.
Or three and see how it goes. Or certainly the first two, see how it goes. But there wasn't a lot else. Like, you can tell Guardiola was worried about that game because you could look at it and lazily you could say, oh, well, Ake played. But Ake played because Stones wasn't fully fit. And, you know, maybe he won't be for Atletico. Well, you know, I'm sure by the time people have heard this, we'll know. But Guardiola was saying, you know, there's no real guarantee. So Ake played because Stones wasn't fit. So it wasn't changing. You know, I think at 3-0, he might have brought Fernandinho on for Rodri, but he wouldn't want to risk it at 2. And he certainly wouldn't have wanted to risk it from the start. So the interesting thing about this rotation, and I've said this before, is last season, Rodri and Fernandinho were more interchangeable at the end, but Zinchenko and Cancelo was fairly interchangeable all the way through. And there was more changes they made. And basically, they had a kind of wholesale different team or like 4 or 5 different players. But now, there's not a lot they can do to change it. You know, you can bring Bernardo out like they've done, and you can change the front line around a bit because they've got a few options there. But there's not an awful lot you can do, especially with Diaz injured. And it seems like Zinchenko's not in favour as much this season. Fernandinho's not. Guardiola said himself on those audios, you know, Ake hasn't played much this season, mainly just because of who's ahead of him, although I think he's been good when he has played. So I think he does want to rotate, and he would maybe like to rotate more, but he also said, you know, they've got a small squad, so everyone has to make their contribution, because I don't think it's going to be like last season where you can make loads of changes from one game to the next.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's going to want to take his eye off the ball, and maybe he thinks, I don't know, but going by how they've been selected, maybe he thinks that Zinchenko and Fernandinho aren't great options to rotate. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I'd love Fernandinho to come in. And he played back-to-back games at Christmas, didn't he? And they City won them both, Leicester and Brentford away. I've always said Zinchenko is amazing. And up until probably October time, I was like, you could play Zinchenko instead of Cancelo easily. But Cancelo's been so good that he needs to play there. But again, it'll be interesting. Who's going to play against Atletico with Carl Walker still banned? Will Cancelo go back to right back and will Zinchenko play left back? Or if Stones is fit, will Ake play left back? Or I don't know. Will Stones play right back? It's interesting. But there's There's not a lot of... I don't think the rotation will be as much as it was last season in recent seasons.
I just want to finish this week's show, Sam, by playing the very final question and answer from the press conference, because basically at this point you realise that if Guardiola was any more relaxed, you could pour him into a bowl. This is what happened.
What was the mood of your players when they came back into the dressing room after winning
today? Take a phone and look the phone Instagram. That is what they've done today, the generation of the football players. I insist, enjoy 5 minutes, talk about 5 minutes, but they take the phone and, okay. I desist, I give up. So, do whatever they want. Tomorrow we start Atletico Madrid. As much as I focus before the game, during the game, the rest, I don't care.
There we are. Wheeled out on a stretcher after that one. He was that horizontal.
yeah, exactly. He's good that. Although Pep's always on his phone. He's getting messages, but like I said, I was right at the side. He's always... like looking on his phone until somebody asks a question, he's like, right, phone down. He's always got loads of messages to catch up on. Yeah. Presumably he gets a million messages from people saying, oh, you know, congratulations or whatever. But yeah. But it is funny, isn't it? But it was interesting why. I'd like to know the logic behind asking the question. And again, I'm not criticizing, but I'd like to know, maybe the guy was just thinking that this will be a good answer because Pep's in such good mood. You know, it's a good opportunity to get insight into the dressing room.
Yeah, it's not a very embargo question.
Were you expecting it to be, for them to be dancing around or whatever? But like I say, there's no criticism of the question whatsoever. It's just interesting that it was asked, and the answer was equally interesting in that that's just how they do it. Like, that's how I chose to end my article. Like, the people were supposedly on. They go and they toy with Burnley for 90 minutes in complete control for like 88 minutes or whatever, if maybe more, and then they just go back into the dressing room and look at Instagram and go home. What a life.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm going to do for the rest of the day, Sam. That's the end of this week's episode of Why Always Us. Thanks as ever to Sam Leight.
Nice one. Thanks a lot. And thanks everyone for listening.
Yeah, don't forget you can sign up to The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.